At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. A Tuesday here on FFC at the end of yet another week in the National Football League. Week number 8 of the NFL season coming to a close on a Monday night in the Steel City. Pittsburgh in primetime yet again. And against the New York Giants, a recap of Monday night between the Steelers and the G-Men. All the news and notes, especially those injury updates from the Sunday slate moving forward into week number 9. And outlooks across the board, Scott Wetzel, that is our charge here on this Tuesday on FFC. Listen, week 8's in the books, week 9 on the horizon, just over 48 hours away. That's the midway point of this NFL season already.
It is amazing, you know, halfway there, right? I mean, it's been so many storylines already with the Jets and the 49ers struggling, teams surprising and this and that, Jaden Daniels, and it's been a crazy 8 weeks for sure. It is nice to know every once in a while, Ben, things that are supposed to happen actually happen. That's the hook with the boys in Vegas, right? That they beat every single week. But last night, you know, Pittsburgh 21-1, last 22 home games on Monday night, they win. Giants, Danny Nichols, 1-15 his last 16 games at night. They lose, and Pittsburgh covers. So it is nice to have what's supposed to happen every once in a while. That keeps you coming back to the window.
Yes, it certainly does, Scott. It feels simple when you handicap it in such a way. It's like you're not finding the edges. It just seems rather matter of fact. It did play out that way last night. The Pittsburgh Steelers improved to 6-2 with a 26-18 victory over the Giants at home inside Acrisure Stadium. The Steelers closed as a 6-point favorite. Cover that number. Limited total last night, 36.5. It does sky over. The Steelers got a 6-2 football team outright who has covered in all 6 of their victories, including both 4-2 straight up and against the number as the favored side this year. We know that Mike Tomlin has his winning ways. They continue for Pittsburgh here in 2024. Both of Russell Wilson's 2 starts, the Steelers have won outright at home. It's been a good start to this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, now sitting at 6-2 and atop the AFC North at the end of 8 weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's weird though, Ben, right? I mean, they must be the most maligned 6-2 football team maybe in the history of football when you consider everything. And we're talking about one of the greatest franchises the NFL has ever seen. We're talking about a Hall of Fame for sure head coach of Mike Tomlin. Yet we've been through not one but 2 quarterbacks with Pittsburgh. Doubt about the Steelers. Are they really that any good? Can they win at a big time level? Is it Justin Fields? Is it Russell Wilson? You know, no one thinks they're going to win the division. It's kind of weird, right? I mean, I would expect this out of an Indianapolis Colts, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New Orleans Saints team, just throw out a few. Not with the great, mighty Pittsburgh Steelers, 6-2, great head coach. You think you know what they're doing, but does anyone really think they're coming out of the AFC? Not too many people outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and a cover in all six wins as well, Scott.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers entered this year with the second most difficult schedule in the National Football League. Their first eight games, now ahead of a Week 9 bye, have not been a slouch. Just wait till what you hear is on the other horizon of this bye week, starting Week 10, and then in their final 8 weeks, all six of their AFC North divisional games. But it has not been an AFC North division, as we will look at in just a moment, that has necessarily been the world beater we expected, where all four teams last year finished with a winning record, three of the four earning a playoff berth. But back to last night, Scott, the Steelers do cover as a 6-point favorite. Russell Wilson, now in two starts, has played pretty clean football, has not thrown an interception, did suffer a strip sack late in the fourth quarter last night. The TJ Watt then went and got back against Daniel Jones to make sure the Giants could not pull to within eight, but he's thrown for at least 264 yards, Scott, that being Russell Wilson, in each of his two starts as a Steeler, three touchdowns to zero interceptions. Najee Harris, 114 yards last night, a season high, has broken through the century mark in three consecutive weeks. George Pickens has established that relationship and rapport with Russ. He's been Pittsburgh's leading receiver each of the past two games, and Calvin Austin provided a spark, a receiving touchdown, and a punt return touchdown as well. And here are the Steelers, Scott, at 6-2. But just to your point about their overall outlook, it has been really what has plagued Pittsburgh in the last decade or so. Of course, we know the story of success around Mike Tomlin, now in his 18th year, the previous 17 seasons at the helm of the Steelers, never a losing record, never less than eight wins, even earning playoff berths with not great quarterback play and pretty stout defenses the last few seasons. But it's been, what is the ceiling, Scott? The Steelers have not played in an AFC championship game even since 2016.
Yeah. You know, it's going to sound weird, Ben, but I honestly, and I'm a Russell Wilson guy over a Justin Fields guy, but I've gotten 180 on this. I actually think the ceiling is higher with Justin Fields than with Russell Wilson, because, well, you watched that game last night, and I'm on my text chain with all the podcast guys, and we all came to the same conclusion. He can't throw the ball more than 50 yards. You're not going to win. You're not going to be able to beat Buffalo. You're not going to be able to beat Kansas City in the cold in the playoff with that kind of arm. You're just not. But here's what separates Russell Wilson from Justin Fields and why he's the better quarterback of the two. Third and long, 2.5 minutes left to go. They call a pass play, which I kind of doubt they would do if Justin Fields was the quarterback. Russell Wilson sees no one's open. Does he throw an incompletion, kill the clock? No. He runs, scrambles, gets 5 yards, still fourth down, but the clock goes from 2:30 to the 2-minute warning because the Giants didn't have any more timeouts. Justin Fields is in there, I guarantee you, Ben, they throw the football. It's an incompletion. Clock stops at 2:30, and the Giants have 30 more seconds to work with. Like, Russell will do the smart thing with the ball. Physically, yeah. I think he's limited versus Justin Fields. He's a better passer, but he can't throw the ball deep. But he's a smart quarterback. He's the smarter quarterback. We need to get Justin Fields to make those smart plays. And at this point, after 4+ seasons, I've not seen that. I've seen Justin Fields make mistake after mistake after mistake in situations like that. Russell doesn't.
Russ, experienced and efficient. It's what he has been here for Pittsburgh. Justin Fields, inactive last night. The emergency third-string quarterback did injure his hamstring during practice this week. So it's Russ's job for sure as of this moment. Scott, I thought the Steelers would take a step back in terms of even limited offensive production in the ground game without Justin Fields, because I thought his threat as a runner only helps Najee Harris. He's run for over 100 yards in two consecutive games with Russell Wilson under center. Again, we're looking at a Steelers team that is a minus 300 favorite to get to the postseason. I think that is absolutely accomplishable for this Pittsburgh squad. Beyond that, that remains a different story. 14-1, Scott, on the Steelers to win the AFC. Fifth best number, but more than half behind, or more than double behind, the fourth shortest price. That's the Texans at 6-1. And there are still some issues with this Steelers team. And maybe we're being a little nitpicky for a team off to a 6-2 start. But the score at the break last night, 9-9. Pittsburgh was 0-4 in red zone opportunities last night, settling for a lot of field goals. And Scott, as most of America learned last night, 2 feet down isn't actually 2 feet down. You need both feet down. George Pickens tapped his right foot twice in what felt like a completed touchdown catch. Instead, it was ruled incomplete. So a couple of struggles still, Scott, for the Steelers, punching in and finishing off drives, not with three, but six, leading to seven.
Yeah, you know, and they were in control of that game the whole way. But in the end, they're the Giants with the football with a chance to tie the game with a two-point conversion with everything is said and done. That's the Steelers. They have a great record. I'll give it to you when we come back from the break. A phenomenal one-score record, but they do play in a lot of them. They flirt with disaster for sure.
And that's the question for the Steelers. The ceiling beyond a playoff berth, how high can it go? We'll also talk about the New York Giants and the outlook the rest of the way, if there even is one, next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. The Pittsburgh Steelers end out week number 8 with their 6th victory of the season on Monday Night Football, 26-18 against the New York Giants, covering as they have in all 6 victories this year. Scott, we've already talked about this a little bit here on the show on FFC. The Steelers' question is not a winning record. It's maybe not even double-digit wins off to a 6-2 start or perhaps a playoff berth. At least the odds makers don't think so. The Steelers right now minus 300 to see the postseason. The question for Pittsburgh might be the elevation of that ceiling. A franchise that has made the postseason a bunch, even 3 times in the last 4 years, but has failed to even play in the AFC Championship game since 2016. Their last conference crown, 2010, when they lost in a Super Bowl. So, Scott, when you look at this Steelers team this year, more than likely with Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback the rest of the way, what exactly is that ceiling for the Steelers? Is it just a playoff berth, one and done? Could they make a little postseason noise? Might they be a true conference contender?
I don't think they're a true conference. You know, unfortunately, it's a conference that includes Kansas City. You know, are they going to beat Kansas City in a postseason game when everything is really on the line with Patrick Mahomes? I don't think so, Ben. I think their ceiling is the AFC Championship game. You know, you're kind of stuck behind a rock place here with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because don't forget, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, both on 1-year contracts. So you got to make a decision to make. You know, and if Russell does really well the rest of the way, get you, let's say, even to the second round of the postseason. We'll go conservative. Yeah. Do you re-sign him to a 3-4-year contract worth $30, $35 million, like he'd probably get on the open market? I don't think he'd get $40 or $50. I really don't think that would be the case. But, you know, you got to make the commitment. That's the thing. So What does Pittsburgh consider success? I mean, I don't think that team is going to be able to beat – I don't even know if they'd be able to beat Baltimore. They certainly, to me, wouldn't be able to beat Kansas City. But they have, you know, the dynamics. You know, to beat KC, you're not going to outscore them, right? You got to beat them defensively and win a 20-17 game. But, boy, Kansas City's just so good. You got to be on such an elite level. It's unfair judgment, you know, judging teams like, you know, Baltimore or Buffalo or in this case, Pittsburgh, because you got the monster in front of you where you don't really have that in the NFC. But I don't think they're on that same level, no.
6-2, the start for the Steelers. Scott, there is the idea of cashing a ticket, or just at least making some profit off a ticket. 14-1 is the price on the Steelers. Again, it is the 5th best number in the AFC, but there is a large drop-off past the top 4. The Chiefs are the favorites at 2-1. The Ravens, despite being upset by the Browns in Cleveland on Sunday, 2nd best number, plus 350. The Bills at 6-2, plus 420. The Texans are also 6-2 at plus 600. But you double the price for Houston, then add on a few bucks. That's where you get to Pittsburgh at 14-1. And again, Scott, it's the idea of cashing that ticket, something the Steelers have not done in now nearly a decade and a half. And it's also the idea of maybe making 14-1, 6-1 by the time they get to the postseason or perhaps the divisional round. When you look at the Steelers' odds also in the division, Plus 210 right now, despite the best record, 6-2, a full game in front of the Ravens. But Scott, Baltimore, minus 1, 85. Still, the odds makers believing the Ravens are there at the end of the road, not the Steelers.
Yeah, you know, Pittsburgh's got to play a bunch of games in division yet, so their schedule, as difficult as it was, you know, still is, can be very difficult, especially if the Browns have to kind of turn things around here a little bit. People love Baltimore. They ultimately think they're the best team in that division, kind of like I still love Cincinnati, even though I'm ready to jump off the Bungles bandwagon, as I like to call them.
Yeah.
So disappointing performances past this Sunday. But, yeah, they just, you know, ultimately, Ben, do they really have a number one wide receiver? Is George Pickens, is he really going to keep defensive coordinators up at night, you know, come playoff time? You know, I don't know. I don't think so. Russell Wilson, you watched him play last night. Listen, efficient, very efficient, right? That's been Russ the last couple of years. He can't throw the ball more than 50 yards, Ben. I mean, he's underthrowing all these wide receivers. Otherwise, they would have scored a ton more points. So, and that's with great weather. What happens when it's 30 below? Or realistically, freezing temperatures, you know, where it's even tougher to throw the ball. They got the same thing. Boy, give Pittsburgh credit, give Tomlin credit that they've been able to maintain things and be playoff teams. But do I ultimately think they're going to be able to be even in the AFC Championship game? Nah, I really don't. I don't.
Yeah. And it's got to get its value, right? Could you lessen that price where you can either middle out at some point or cash out a ticket by the time we get to January? It doesn't really feel like that at this moment for Pittsburgh, despite a lot to like. Russ is playing clean football. Najee Harris has run for more than 100 in three straight games. The Steelers are the second best scoring defense in the NFL, and we know the pedigree of winning ways and success, and yet it can almost make it more infuriating because you often have a seat at the table but never really can do much with it. The Steelers in the 13 years since last making the Super Bowl in 2010, 8 playoff trips, Scott, and just one berth in an AFC championship game. And to your point about the schedule for the Steelers, I will say there might be a point in the next few weeks where you actually think you could be getting better value on Pittsburgh. Again, one of the hardest schedules in the NFL entering this year. And their 8 games has been no cakewalk to start this season. But Scott, a bye week during week number 9, a game that maybe before the year you thought would be a win, taking on the Commanders. Not necessarily 6-2 Washington at this moment. And then in their final 8 games, they play all 6 of their divisional opponents, the Ravens twice, the Browns twice, the Bengals twice, of course. And who are the 2 non-AFC North foes for Pittsburgh? Philadelphia and Kansas City. It is an absolute gauntlet in the closing half of this season for Pittsburgh. It's almost why, Scott, minus 300 as a playoff price almost seems a little bit steep at this moment because it's not like the Steelers are running away to 12 wins.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned that before, I was going to say I would not be rushing to the window to lay -3 and change for them to make the playoffs. You know, if you have the bet where it's +152 to 1 for them not to make the playoffs, I think that's more of appealing than, you know, -3 to 1. I mean, I could see that thing really imploding, right? I mean, they're a good football team, but that's a gauntlet like no other.
Yeah, it is a crazy gauntlet for the Steelers. Quickly, Scott, the other side of Monday night. The New York Giants. Daniel Jones wasn't terrible, but the Giants are now 2-6. What is the path moving forward for the G-men, and maybe not just in 2024, but beyond? We'll have that conversation next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. To end out week number 8 on a Monday night in Pittsburgh, the Steelers knock off the Giants as the odds makers expected. Pittsburgh covers, winning by 8, 26-18 as a 6-point home favorite. Scott, is with the 23rd consecutive game for the New York Giants as an underdog, dating back to week number 3 of last season. Now 11-1 against the spread, rather average, with 7 outright victories in those 23 straight games as the underdog. And again, when you look at the numbers, Daniel Jones wasn't terrible, didn't throw a touchdown pass, and did have one interception, but it wasn't the worst Danny Dimes stat line we have ever seen. Tyrone Tracy provided a spark for New York in the backfield. Both Darius Slayton and Malik Nabers well over the receiving yards props last night against Pittsburgh as well. But here are the G-men, Scott, at 2-6. The updated win total is 5.5. There doesn't seem to be a lot of optimism that the New York Giants will be able to figure anything out to turn around their season, to maybe flirt with 500, so on and so forth. I don't even think we really need to speculate. Could they make a run at the postseason? It doesn't seem likely to happen. So I guess the question is the future of Daniel Jones and the future of head coach Brian Daboll and, of course, general manager Joe Shane. Let's start with the quarterback, Scott. Will Daniel Jones remain the starter for New York the remainder of this season, or might we see Drew Lock step up and in a few weeks?
Oh, yeah, I would be shocked if he was the quarterback of the, you know, the rest of the year, right? Listen, I thought you were going to ask me, you know what, would he be traded? You know, with the trade deadline next week, you know, he only has really, he's got two more years left on his contract, but this is the last year of guaranteed money. Giants can cut him loose, which is why everyone's talking about his future there with the Giants. So if you're a team that needed a quarterback, you know, if we found out Jordan Love's injury was a little bit more severe than what we thought, you know, would the Packers be a situation where it could, you know, so there's certain teams out there that you thought maybe, just maybe, tough to bring a quarterback in, but I would be surprised. But like you said, four games out of a playoff spot, you're living in purgatory with him. You know, last night's game is why he's Daniel Jones and he's not, you know, a really, really good quarterback. He'll put up decent numbers at times, but ultimately, final drive, chance to get the team into the end zone and send the game to overtime, he fumbles the football. Whether it's his fault or not, you know, with TJ Watt was playing just great those last couple of drives. But the bottom line, that's Daniel Jones, man. He's always there to make the mistake, except the one year he was there to make all the big plays a couple of years ago. Other than that, it's always been, well, it's really not my fault. Blindside hit, threw it to double coverage, and wide receiver should have caught the ball. But, you know, there's always something with him. So he's not going to be on this football team next year. I would be very surprised.
Yeah, I don't think he's on this football team next year, Scott. So is there an idea he presents any trade value for another team potentially? Again, he threw for 264 yards last night, was sacked four times in the TJ Watt strip sack. TJ Watt minus 240 to record a sack last night. You knew it was going to come through. There are a couple of building blocks for this team, but Andrew Thomas, star left tackle, out for the remainder of this year. That doesn't help Daniel Jones or the G-men. Tyrone Tracy, the rookie out of Purdue, has been a nice spark, kind of moving past Devin Singletary, a buck 40 on the ground last night. And Malik Nabers back and looking pretty good. Just not much to love about this New York team. So, Scott, it gets really interesting, right? Because we don't expect Daniel Jones to remain the starting quarterback, perhaps not even on the roster next year for the Giants. They'll be looking for their quarterback of the future. What about GM Joe Shane and Brian Daboll? Because, of course, they were not the guys in-house that selected Daniel Jones in the top 10, but they were the guys there that led Daniel Jones to a playoff berth and a road playoff win and decided, despite the rest of the sample size, he was worth paying a contract extension to. So I don't know if they've hitched their wagon necessarily to Danny Dimes, Scott, but it's not like they're exactly onus free of what has happened to this organization. Do you believe that both Joe Shane and Brian Daboll will be back in 2025?
I do. But it's only because of consistency, Ben. We brought this up before. Yeah. Giants have gone through with the Mara family that they've been one of the more stable franchises and they keep coaches around forever and loyal and all this other stuff, but not the last 10 years. You know, there's a laundry list of Giant head coaches that you can come up with. Sooner or later, you got to commit to one. So I think actually both will be back. Yeah.
You just have to fear. You don't want either guy to be in a lame duck situation if you are drafting a quarterback top five, top 10. See a lot of chaos in the organization. Scott, I think one of the two guys, maybe both, gets the benefit of the doubt. Daniel Jones will not be in New York next season. The news and notes you need from the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, when a new week in the, or when 1 week in the NFL comes to a close, a new week is not far behind. You get all the injury updates and kind of where teams stand from the coaching staff following a Sunday slate on Monday afternoon. So let's start with the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love exited their game in Jacksonville on Sunday afternoon early in the second half with a groin injury. They ran an MRI, and Matt LaFleur telling the media yesterday, not as major as they thought. Good news. His status still a little bit up in the air for a huge game on Sunday afternoon in Lambeau against the Detroit Lions, but not necessarily again for Jordan Love is he going to miss significant time with an injury. We thought week one in Brazil, that might be a significant knee injury. Did miss two games, but then came back rather quickly. A groin injury, a little bit of doubt, but some good news, at least positive signs for the Packers quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, especially after reading some quotes and hearing some comments after the game where the Packers were basically saying, boy, this really doesn't look good. Like they were really painting a bleak picture. So the fact that they say this is not going to be a season-ending injury, even if it is a couple of weeks, has got to be good news. Might hand the division, Ben, over to Detroit, right? I mean, I don't know if you're going to be able to beat anybody with Malik Willis as your starting quarterback, anyone seriously anyway. So yeah. Second straight week, like kind of our marquee game, is getting a little messed up with the quarterback situation. Now, obviously, Daniels ended up playing for Washington, but, there was some doubt about that, and now this week. So, it's one of those injuries. I prefer an injury better. It sounds goofy, but give me the injury where the guy's getting hit. I know what caused that. Those injuries tend to heal a little bit faster. Yeah. When the guy's just throwing the football as he was and he just tweaks himself, those injuries are a little more severe for whatever reason. So, but good news from Green Bay anyway.
Yeah, no non-contact injuries, always a scary sight because you're like, wait, what happened? But if you're in a great deal of pain, something happened internally that is going to be an issue. Good signs for Green Bay. Scott, looking at the number, though, Detroit is a 3.5-point road favorite in Lambeau on Sunday afternoon. That line, a clear indicator to me, at least as of this moment, the odds makers do not expect Jordan Love to line up as the starting quarterback. Part of it also is Detroit has been incredibly impressive and dominant this season. Let's give a shout-out to Malik Willis, Scott, who's played more than two possessions now in three games for Green Bay. Kind of an afterthought, a little bit of an interesting headline, but not much more than that. At the end of training camp, the Packers acquire Malik Willis, who had been with Tennessee for a couple of seasons, didn't really work out, started a few games at the end of his rookie campaign. Scott had played in 12 games for Tennessee, never threw a touchdown pass to three interceptions in the three games after Brazil that he has played more than a couple of possessions. He has thrown a touchdown pass in every one, in either in his two starts winning outright as an underdog or last week making sure Green Bay held on in the second half after Love exited. He has contributed to three Green Bay wins to keep this Packers team at 6-2.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, somewhere along the line, we're going to have to start appreciating, Ben, how good a head coach Matt LaFleur is. Packers are phenomenal at home. He's got one of the best against the spread records as well as far as from a betting standpoint also. And now he's bringing in Malik Willis. I mean, nobody thought this guy was worth anything, right? And they're winning football games with him. It really is a testament to, he's just kind of there, young-looking guy, he had this guy, he had Aaron Rodgers, anyone could win with him. Now he's bringing in Jordan Love, making him be a big time quarterback. Yeah, I mean the guy's he is a very, very good head coach, and he's just proving it, every single week. So I wouldn't discount them this week, but boy, lying against the spread numbers, you talk about phenomenal, the best in the NFL over the last several years. Dan Campbell.
Yeah, it's crazy, Scott. 48-13 is the ATS record, both and in every game since Dan Campbell took over in 2021. It is a 70.5% cover percentage. It is the only team, that being Detroit, that has covered in more than 61% of their games. They're nearly 10 percentage points higher than that at 70.5. It started as an underdog team that was competitive. The last year and a half, Scott, it's been the favored side that has been covering numbers in a large, large way. Detroit 6-1 this year, a cover in all six victories. Got elsewhere around the NFL, some more quarterback news as we get ready for a new week. Of course, Derek Carr is expected to be back at practice for the Saints tomorrow. The Saints were one of the early surprises of this season. An impressive 2-0 perfect start, 91 points scored combined in those two games. Since that 2-0 start, Scott, they haven't won a single game. They have dropped six in a row. Derek Carr was injured in the end of the fourth quarter of their Week 5 Monday night game against Kansas City. Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener haven't really done much to kind of get that New Orleans offense going. So it's good news for the Saints, of course, to have Derek Carr returning perhaps from that oblique injury. I don't know if the season can be saved, though, at this point for the Saints.
Yeah, you know, the Saints are among many teams this year, Ben, and we seem to say this every single year, but boy, this year in particular, that could just implode, right? The fire Dennis Allen, he's awful as a head coach. Derek Carr's last year of his contract, kind of like with the Giants, kind of like with the Jets. You know, there are a number of teams that could just say, you know what, you're all gone. Quarterback, head coach, GM, see you later. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. So this is the one Spencer Rattler came in. Listen, he wasn't a top pick, so you got what you probably were expecting that of him. He wasn't the savior, let's put it that way. So you basically have 10 games now for Derek Carr to save maybe his job with the Saints, get a new contract. Dennis Allen's head coaching situation there as well. I bought into this team a couple of years ago. I know you did as well to a certain extent, but disappointed in their overall performance. And was so encouraged after their 2-0 start, but even before the Carr injury, things had flipped the other way.
Really well said, Scott, because in that third game against an Eagles team that was struggling, especially defensively, to look clean early in the season, they only scored 12 points. And then the defense has looked really poor, really all of this year, but certainly in the last month or so. New Orleans allowing 25.8 points per game, bottom 10 scoring defense around the NFL. That's supposed to be Dennis Allen's area of expertise. That is his bread and butter. He has been in New Orleans, Scott, for a long time, third year as the head coach, but served under Sean Payton as Payton's defensive coordinator for six seasons before getting that job promotion. Mickey Loomis, the general manager, has been there for a while. It almost feels, Scott, that unless Derek Carr can make them respectable, this season goes off the rails, and there's a lot of sweeping changes for this organization in the offseason. There was already some speculation about Dennis Allen's job security last offseason and how things ended week 18. If you remember, Jameis Winston calling the audible to give Jamal Williams a touchdown run late in the game when New Orleans was up comfortably. Dennis Allen was not pleased. Did he lose the locker room? So on and so forth. Scott, if they continue down this path, and it seems as though the Saints might, I don't think Dennis Allen is their head coach next year.
Yeah, you know, he would be, I know some sites offer this, you know, as far as head coaches next fired, you know, he would be pretty high on that list, if not number one. Like you said, you know, he was being rumored to be whacked after last season, but I guess they figured him coming back, Derek Carr, won last year as well, might as well give him one more shot at this thing versus bring a new head coach in there. So, but it doesn't look good for the Saints. There's too much talent on that football team, Ben, to be where they are right now.
And Scott, when you look at the NFC South, right, it's a division that we have long talked about. You don't need 10, 11, 12 wins to often win the NFC South crown. The Atlanta Falcons, who have not looked overwhelmingly impressive despite a 5-3 start by any means, are -370 to win the NFC South. And they were the odds-on favorites entering the season. But it's not just because of Atlanta. The Bucs, of course, shorthanded. They've dropped three in a row. The Saints have lost six straight. And there's the Carolina Panthers. So Atlanta, a heavy favorite. And probably deservingly, Scott, despite the fact it's not all of the Falcons football that has led them to that near 4-1 minus money price to win the NFC South divisional crown. Might we see a quarterback change upcoming in Indianapolis? Colts head coach Shane Steichen is non-committal. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, a quarterback controversy in Indianapolis. Maybe, just maybe. Scott, Anthony Richardson in his de facto rookie season has looked every bit a real rookie, and even some of his media training after the game on Sunday when he was asked why he checked himself out. He said, "I'm not going to lie to you. I was tired." AR, somebody should have told you that despite we appreciate honesty and transparency with the media, you should have lied. So Shane Steichen, Scott, on Monday was asked about his plan at the quarterback position moving forward for Indianapolis, who is 4-4 after 8 weeks, told reporters who is going to start Sunday night in Minnesota, quote, "We're evaluating everything," end quote. So Scott, I ask you, is it going to be Anthony Richardson or Joe Flacco on Sunday Night Football in the Twin Cities against the Vikings?
You know, I think it's going to be Joe. First of all, why is this game on Sunday night, right? Who thought Minnesota was going to be any good? And no one thought Indianapolis was going to be any good at the beginning of the year. So how did NBC pick this game, right? It's not like they flexed into this game. But that said, listen, it's got to be Flacco, Joe, or Ben. I mean, here's what happened. Remember when they drafted him, they anointed him the starter. And we all said, you know, you really want to do that, but okay, you don't have a quarterback. He's the quarterback in the future. Fine. So they had automatically anointed him a starter. Didn't have to earn anything. And he was walking into not a bottom of the barrel situation where it's like, okay, fine, you be our starter and go 3-14. No one's going to blink an eye. He walked into a pretty good Colts team. And now they're realizing that they are a pretty good team. And you only have so many years with these guys. And the window is open in the AFC. You know, the Dolphins aren't who we thought they would be. The Bengals aren't who we thought they would be. Number of teams that, you know, were expected to do really well. Not the case. Jacksonville, right? So the playoffs are there for the Indianapolis Colts. So we saw what Flacco did last year. We saw what he's done in a couple of games starting this season for the Colts. If you want to win, if you want to keep that locker room honest, right, you have to start to meet Joe Flacco. It's like the Browns last year. You know, I came up with some good numbers. Not that it really pertains to this, but it pertains to Flacco and backups. You know, with Deshaun Watson, Ben, they've only had 8 games where they scored 20 points or more out of 19 starts. In games in which the backup started out of 23, 16 times they scored 20 points or more. So, yeah, it's like night and day different. So I bring it to this equation because, one, it is Flacco, but a quarterback will make a difference. I know that's obvious, but there's proof. You want to make the playoffs, you start Flacco. If you, you know, you want to say that, you know, he's Richardson's your quarterback of the future, well, you know what? Be the quarterback of the future on the bench. You know, you can learn just as much there sometimes.
And Scott, it's why the Colts were such a compelling case to me entering this season. You really wanted to go through the growing pains for Anthony Richardson, an underdeveloped project, despite his athleticism at the quarterback position. I'll talk about the stats for AR in just a matter of moments, but you wanted that to happen last year. Rookie head coach Shane Steichen, rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson. He only played 4 games before his season was ended prematurely with a shoulder injury. So this is his de facto rookie season. And Scott, AR, despite his athleticism and arm strength, is by no means a finished or polished product. He had 1 full season as a starter in college, and he had a 53.8% completion percentage. I remember getting ready for that draft and the conversation of Bryce Young versus C.J. Stroud, and could Anthony Richardson be the number one pick? And say, guys, look at that number, 53.8%, less than 54% completion percentage in college. It is only year as a starting quarterback, despite what the tape might say, despite how great his arm is, despite how much of an athletic freak he turns out to be. Completion percentage, Scott, accuracy, efficiency is not something that normally gets better as you take the leap to the next level in the National Football League. And Anthony Richardson this year, in his 6 fully healthy games, 5 of the 6, he has had 10 completions or less. He was 10 of 32 on Sunday for Indy against Houston. His completion percentage is 48.5%. It has not gotten any better in the NFL. And then you have the idea of losing the locker room. That if your second-year quarterback can say, I need a breather, when your offensive line is playing every play, getting mauled, trying to make sure the guy doesn't get taken down, how does that reflect on his leadership? Listen, I think it's a rookie mistake. You feel for him. He certainly should not have admitted it out loud to the public. A guy who has dealt with injuries should have said, yeah, I just felt something weird for a second, had to get worked on, came back in the game, would have been fine, would have been a moot point. Not the case, Scott. I think the decision for Shane Steichen is Joe Flacco, and that's unfortunate for Anthony Richardson, who needs the experience and time to develop and to take his lumps. Not sure he's going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, as the saying goes, right? I mean, if you think, and I don't necessarily think this, but if you think the only way he's going to learn is to play, then, you know, you got to play him. But if you think and hope that he can learn on the bench and during practice, you know, then you know what? We got to start Flacco, because we got 50-plus other players on this football team that are busting their gut to do everything to win. And now we have a quarterback that's, you know, completing 33% of his passes, as you mentioned. Football Full Circle, yeah. I don't know how, or football, Pro Football Focus, rather. Well, we do as well. Yeah. Has some category where they can figure out whether a quarterback is throwing on target or not. Richardson is the number one guy as far as not being on target this season. I mean, it's just, like, amazing that they've been able to win some of these games with his lack of passing. So put Flacco in there.
And Scott, listen, there's an argument to be made based on results as well. Joe Flacco has at least played the majority of a game, if not started two of their four wins, right? We know that Joe Flacco is a veteran, experienced quarterback that will do a lot of the right things to win you football games. Beyond that, is Flacco at this stage of his career going to make you a Super Bowl or conference contender? No, but to win you games, certainly. And Scott, it's really a tough thing now for Indianapolis, because last year, again, this should have been the year for a young team that had a win total of 6.5 to take their lumps. But AR gets injured. Shane Steichen's a great offensive coach, gets Gardner Minshew to look pretty good and leads Indianapolis to a winning record and a chance at the division. Now this Colts team has tasted victory. They want it, and Anthony Richardson might not be the best quarterback to provide it. More news around the NFL. It comes your way up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC for just a few more moments. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Other news, Scott, around the National Football League that we found out at the end of one to get ready for another with Week 9 on the horizon. The Chiefs, the only undefeated team left in the National Football League, they keep investing in getting better. After acquiring DeAndre Hopkins last week, didn't do much in his debut for KC on Sunday in Las Vegas, but you think you give him some time to adjust. They go out and get a member to add to their defensive front. Josh Uche from the New England Patriots acquired yesterday. Uche has been pretty good in his career out of Michigan. Has only started four games, Scott, for the Patriots during his 5 years there, including just one despite seven appearances this season in Foxborough. 2 years ago, though, 2022, I should say, 11.5 sacks, at least a positive impact to a Chiefs defense that has been darn good this season.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, Ben. It goes back to what I always say, you know, when people bring up salary cap issues and money and this and that, where there's a will, there's a way, right? It's as simple as that. And they have shown the will to want to win and do whatever it takes to win, whether it's Hopkins, whether it's this guy, whether there'll be another guy in the later this week. I mean, it is just amazing. Everyone else is all standing around. We got the Jerry Jones of the world saying, well, we just can't afford it, can't fit him in salary cap wise, blah, 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 blah. You know, and here are the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, seemingly with a high payroll, I would imagine, being able to make move after move after move. Remarkable.
And Scott, you look at their general manager, Brett Veach, who has come over and done so many wonderful things for Kansas City. I saw a clip yesterday about Brett Veach being asked either a year or two ago, whatever it was, about the idea of the Super Bowl window, right? When to go all in versus when to rebuild, whatever you would kind of conceptualize that around the NFL. And he said, you don't have any time but to be all in each and every year. And when you have Patrick Mahomes, you are always all in. Veach understands that, and KC just somehow, some way, Scott, keeps getting better. Tyreek Stevenson, the cornerback for the Chicago Bears that became internet famous and infamous for jawing at Commanders fans after the ball was snapped on now a play that will live in NFL lore, the Hail Mary in Landover, Maryland on Sunday, said that he apologized to his teammates and the Bears fan base. And Scott, my favorite part of what is one of the funniest plays ever involving Tyreek Stevenson and his apology is that he said, "Don't worry, it will never happen again." No, duh. It better never happen again. If you're even involved in a Hail Mary, you better not be chirping with fans as the ball is snapped. But hopefully, Tyreek, you're never even in a Hail Mary situation where it comes down to your defensive abilities again. Truly, Scott, just a completely, completely comical play. I know Bears fans still not laughing, though, on this Tuesday afternoon.
No, and then you throw insult to injury, right? Because he was the one that tipped the ball backwards. Yeah. You know, that's the other thing. You know, it's, you know, so if he just wasn't in the play, okay, you know, but he was the mope that tipped the ball back to the Washington guy in the end zone. I mean, what are you thinking? I don't understand that. You know, you get in the huddle defensively. The coaches tell you, all right, you're going to go, you'll be one of the 3-4 guys that are going to go all the way back to the end line. You know, and he's yelling and screaming at fans that are 30 yards away. Not like he was getting into a verbal battle with these guys all year or all game long, right? I mean, he's just like, wow. And it was a good 3 seconds. And like, if you look at the play, he's still yapping at the fans 3 seconds after the ball is snapped. Oh, my. He just can't make this. We've seen some bad mistakes. We've seen guys drop the football before they get into the end zone, but that's kind of like a judgment. You know, I'm so ready to celebrate, you know, not that is excusable, but this one, I think this is the worst one I've ever seen, man. It's beyond belief. It really is.
It really, really is, Scott. It really, truly is. So many comical errors on that play. I don't think Matt Eberfluser, as I'm starting to call him now, is off the hook for having a spy on that final play, like Jaden Daniels was going to scramble for 5 yards on third eight. I mean, just, it was just everything included, Scott. Go ahead.
Here's the other thing with that too, Ben. You know, this is minutia, but I love minutia real quickly. They had first and goal with 30 seconds left with 3 timeouts left. Washington had one. They had to have known that even if we score a touchdown here and get the 2-point conversion, Washington is still only going to need a field goal. So we got to start worrying about how much time we leave on the clock. Instead of running on first down, they threw on first down, incomplete. I think that's what really screwed them all up.
And they probably thought, Scott, we might not score because if we send Doug Kramer, our backup center, in again and hand him the football, everybody should have been sacked on Sunday. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for Football Full Circle. The show returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.